You're all very welcome to this evening's meeting. We make a start. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting today. Can everyone hear me clearly? Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure that the mobile is turned off or either switched to silent. The use of mobile devices or recording is not permitted. The proceedings of this meeting will be audio recorded, except when the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so ensure your microphone is switched on before you speak. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they may make at the meeting. I remind councillors of their obligation under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any items of business before the meeting today. If you have any such interest, please either declare it now or immediately before that item, stating the item of business it's related to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. Are we any apologies? Councillor Ruan. Adam Wilkinson. Gary Stokes. Declarations of interest? None, all right. Action sheet of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 16th of November, if you want to go through that. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Could we have a proposal and a seconder for the minutes? Are you propose and second? Councillor Bourne, do you have any issues?
Yeah, just on page 4, just before it comes off the action sheet in the audio recording of council meetings. On the new website, it's impossible to find the audio recordings. When you've been through the tabs, I think it's agenda and meetings that's on the tab, and even down through that, there's a list on the left hand side. It took ages to find it on the new website. So if we can maybe change the tab to meetings and audio, it'll be more. Probably be better.
I think Councillor Byrne, there has been a problem today anyway with the transfer of some of the details. Now I think some of the audio recordings may be off, but certainly
That's one point I was just going to make. The last council audio that's up is October. I know we've tried to have
some
5 days.
Some of them were lost in the transfer across to the live site today, but you're actually wanting perhaps some modifications.
Yeah, to the tab, because you can't find it. I actually had a phone call this morning. Somebody was looking audio, and I went on to the site, and I only realised the site was the new site up, and I couldn't find it myself. So if the tab, instead of saying council meetings, minutes, and agenda, it should say minutes and audio.
I'd like to ask
Councillor Frank. We have a proposal. Do we have a second after that? Did you second that? All right. Item 4, local development plan. Andrew, you're taking that. Happy enough,
Thank you, Chair. The report before committee in relation to the local development plan preparatory study paper 15, strategic settlement hierarchy. Members will be aware that this paper is part of an ongoing programme preparatory work for the local development plan. The preparatory studies provide members with an overview of the various planning topic areas in the district. And are essential in providing the evidence base for preparing the new local development plan. The purpose and background of this preparatory study is set out in the covering report. Paper 15 introduced members to the strategic evaluation of the 88 settlements currently designated within the district as identified in the existing development plans. So that's from Newry City down through our towns and villages to our small settlements. The evaluation exercise examines the role and position of each settlement within the existing settlement hierarchies and in reviewing their classification informs how they should be classified in the proposed new settlement hierarchy for the new local development plan. the exercise will also identify other locations for consideration as potential new small settlements. In developing the spatial growth strategy for the local development plan, the settlement hierarchy will aid the promotion of sustainable development. The purpose of the settlement hierarchy is to establish the broad principles of development appropriate to each tier within the hierarchy. It will inform the future distribution of development across the district. That's the allocation of land for housing, employment, and for other land use designations. Members will recall that the settlement hierarchy was considered at a recent local development plan member workshop. In consideration of the settlement hierarchy and the associated options, members unanimously agreed to re-examine the existing settlement hierarchy in order to consider if any settlement should be reclassified or declassified, while also considering the potential for identifying a number of new small settlements. And the feedback from this member workshop has informed the paper. Each of the district's 88 settlements has been appraised and evaluated using relevant data, evaluation tests and assessments. And this has enabled an overview of the services, facilities, physical infrastructure and environmental characteristics of each settlement. Following this evaluation, the proposed settlement hierarchy has been compiled. The proposed settlement hierarchy contains four tiers. Within Tier 1, you have Newry City and Downpatrick. In line with the regional development strategy, the evaluation confirms these settlements as the main hubs within the district, taking into account their level of service provision, population size and potential for growth. The main hubs are then supported by the smaller towns, villages and small settlements, and they are identified as local centres serving the needs of the rural hinterland. Of the 88 settlements, only 10 are considered for reclassification. The proposed recommendations are referenced in the report and considered in the paper. In consideration of the smaller settlements, it's not proposed at this stage to declassify or remove any of the existing settlements from the settlement hierarchy. One issue I'd also bring to the members' attention is the existing development plan and indeed NISRA in respect of census data have to date considered Warren Point Burn as one settlement. It's proposed that Warren Point and Burn being considered as two distinct settlements. And this will increase the number of settlements within the hierarchy from 88 to 89. The evaluation exercise is an ongoing process and the number of identified settlements may increase further. We have already identified a number of other candidate locations or nodes of development for consideration as potential new small settlements, and these will be subject to assessment. The settlement evaluation exercise and the proposed settlement hierarchy will inform the preparation of the local development plan. And be further considered as part of the preferred options paper. And members are asked to note the content of the report and have regard to the findings of the paper and the proposed settlement hierarchy. Thank you.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks, Joe. The reclassification, you're saying there's 10 towns to be reclassified, and my concern is for Cross Madeleine to be reclassified from a town down to a village. And I know at the workshop in November or in October when we were talking about it, we did talk about places like Newtown Hamilton that was a town, or that is a town, and maybe reclassifying it as a village. But I can't remember anybody feeding back about Cross Madeleine. And I suppose the problem that I have is the planning application that came up in Newtown Hamilton last year with businesses that you'll probably be familiar with, where Newtown got a supermarket passed under the, because it was a town centre and fell inside the boundaries of the town centre, which it wouldn't have got if it was a village. And I suppose if we reclassify Cross Madeleine from a town to a village, I would like to know what effect it's going to have on the town itself. Like we have, for transport, for example, we have over the last number of years, Councillor Herty has said over the last number of years about improving infrastructure and transport across Madeleine with bus service and that. And surely right across the district, we would be obliged to ensure that our towns, main towns, both large and small, and cities are connected. If we downgrade Cross Madeleine, I fear that we're going to lose that. Also, even with planning restrictions in town centre, I know there's a fair few buildings across Madeleine that if it was village status wouldn't have been passed, like the State of the Art Credit Union and office facilities with conference room, hotel and a large supermarket as well. Again, if you go to page 8 on the pinwheel, level 2 of it, which Cross Madeleine is now classified as a town, it has all them facilities. So reclassifying it makes no sense unless we just reclassify it based on population. Page 13 of your report says that population size alone should not dictate the position of a settlement in the hierarchy, but should be assessed alongside the range of facilities provided within the settlement and the ability to serve the surrounding hinterland. But on the very next page, on 14, we talk about, in Cross and Madden, it's evident that the settlements which provide a broad range of facilities have the ability to draw a significant catchment within the surrounding rural hinterland, and this is apparent when considering the settlements of Newtown, Hamilton and Cross and Madden, but particularly Cross and Madden. It's however felt that although these settlements contain a significant number of services, their relatively small populations on Cross Midland 1608 respectively do not justify them being classified as small towns. So we're saying we shouldn't just focus solely on population. But on the next page, all we have focused on is population. And what I'd be afraid of, because when the businesses were speaking to me in Newtown about when was Newtown Hamilton made a town in the Armagh-Banbridge area plan, who made that decision? What was it based on? Because it had an effect a number of years later where you had a development going up and they felt that it was going to be, you know, make huge changes to the area and destroy a rural village. If we reclassify Cross Midland as a town, I do not want in 3 or 4 years' time decisions coming back where we have, you know, a reduction in services, or, you know, I don't want to find where Cross Midland gets treated as a village and people come to us and say, well, you let that decision go by you. Did you not question what difference it would have? So planning, services, infrastructure, we've enjoyed a lot over the years as a town, and I would like to know the reasoning for reclassifying it, if it's only on population, please.
I would just say, before you come in there, I would like to agree with those remarks and of concerns around that as well. I know through the old council, Cross Midland was always considered the main town for the South Armagh area because of the location. And the small hamlets and that that were surrounded, and it was the centre and the focus point. And you're as aware that the council has a huge community centre and all that's in Cross Midland. And when there's events is held in Cross Midland, when you have the switch on of the Christmas lights, the Halloween festival, all that, there's actually more turning out to it is than there is in the city in Uri to some of these events. You know, so we have to be able to justify not just on the population of people, but it's a focal point for that entire outlay in South Armagh area, and I would certainly have concerns around it too. Is it on the same subject or no? Well, let Andrew walk on talk, and then you come in after that.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, obviously Cross McGlen and Newton Hamilton were designated as towns within the legacy Banbridge Newry Moran area plan. Cross McGlen has a population just over 1600, Newton Hamilton 800, in terms of population size they differ considerably with the other towns that exist within the district. I do accept the points made by both Councillor Byrne and yourself, Chair, about Cross McGlen, and obviously the points that we have sort of picked up on the report that population alone just dictates what tier the settlement falls within and how it's classified, especially when settlements are serving the rural hinterland and it's very much the services they provide. I would add that we did actually retain Cross McGlen in the second tier in terms of the members, the background paper that we presented to the workshop. But it was really based on some of the feedback that we got that we had another look at it, and it was on that basis that we have reclassified it to Tier 3. It's one that we're on the fence on, to be quite honest with you. It could go either way, and if the response back from members at this committee consider that we should have another look at it in terms of it being retained in Tier 2, I have no objection to taking those comments on board.
You propose that, Councillor Vaughan, to
re-look at it? Yeah, but can you make an additional comment, Chair? Yeah. Just on Cross Midland. Cheers. Just the question that I asked in the first place, the difference if you reclassify it to a village and what it loses out on. I know along planning lines, and I suppose what I alluded to when we're talking about services and that, and probably what Councillor Hertie has alluded to with the Christmas switch on and the Christmas trees around different areas. And I know Cross Midland now is a major or a small town, and that's taken into that. If we go down to village status, we're competing with other villages. What is the main differences by reclassifying from a town to a village? I feel, with the information that I have, that it would be detrimental to the area, and I would propose that we retain town status.
I would second that proposal.
Right. Yeah, as I say, I'm happy to, obviously, this paper, it's still a work in progress, and in terms of it, as we move forward, I'm happy to reconsider that and seek to retain Cross McLean as a town.
Thank you. Okay. Councillor, I invite you on next in the meeting. All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
I just saw here Ballyholland as well is going to be reclassified from Tier 3 to Tier 4, which is considered to be a small settlement. And I would just like to ask, what is the differences between the villages and small settlements? Because I think Ballyholland is definitely couldn't be in this category, because there is it's growing and there is more development going on. There is a big local primary school, there is a big community centre, there is a GA club, there is a lot of things going on in Ballyholland. Definitely, I don't think it's a small settlement. I just want to know what is the difference, please.
Again, it's one that we looked at, making comparisons with some of the other settlements. Certainly in terms of our assessment of Ballyholland, we considered that, again, based on its level of population and its service provision, that it maybe didn't sit comparably with some of the other settlements that we have as villages, and it was on that basis that we reclassified it. Let me just sort of pick up on some of the aspects that are addressed in the report and what this means in planning terms. Obviously, in terms of how we distribute any sort of land allocation to the tiers, it will be based on, obviously, first Newry City, Downpatrick, then to the towns, then to the villages, the small settlements. But obviously, the primary focus will be to Newry City and Downpatrick and the towns. There's not much difference between how the villages and the small settlements will be regarded in terms of how they serve the rural hinterlands. So really, in terms of Ballyholland, and I think we did address it in the paper, it's certainly of a population of 664. And certainly it was really based on the sort of level of service provision. The difficulty with Ballyholland is that it relies heavily on Newry in terms of service provision, and that has a bearing on how we've considered Ballyholland. And it's similar to how perhaps Ross Trevor in terms of relies heavily on services in the neighbouring town of Warren Point. Those are some of the factors that we have taken into consideration. It was on that basis that we considered that more on service provision than population, that it should go from Tier 3 to Tier 4, which is a small settlement.
Councillor Henry, sorry, but you're
okay. Thanks, Chairperson. Just a couple of glaring errors in my area. Starting with Saul, 97 people from this account. There'll be 4 to 5 times that number of people in Saul. I think you must have misdefined the village boundaries. The point there too is, of course, that the village plan in Saul also includes our help, and elected representatives have worked very hard to ensure there's a continuous line of pavement between the Hulp and Saul, as they share the same GA club, the same pub, the same church, and it's very much a single community, and that's very much within the wishes of what the village plan is looking for. But certainly you'll grossly underestimated the population of the village, and I think you need to have a look at the village plan there. My estimate would be more like 500. The opposite is the case under section 4.29, where you're suggesting to recognise Bishop's Court as a separate settlement. I know that my DEA has asked me as chair to write to the planning office, pointing up to them that there are issues about the Bishop's Court Ballyhorn area, where the previous planning office had recognised that it had misdrawn the boundary settlement for Ballyhorn and Bishop's Court, and as a result of such, it allowed at least four significant developments within what was loosely called the Greenbelt, in order to try and redefine the centre of the combined settlement of Bishop's Court and Ballyhorn. And indeed, the council itself runs the only interagency group for any village within the council area for the Bishop's Court Ballyhorn area. So I would suggest to you that you need to look at the boundaries there, and Bishop's Court really should be defined within Ballyhorn along the lines of what's wished for by the community itself and in numerous other submissions to council and to planning. Looking at the smaller settlements, I see that you're proposing to recognise Minorstown, and I'm delighted to see you recognised Coney Island. Very well done. But significantly bigger settlements don't seem to be recognised in my area. I mean, the Norman villages of Dunsford or Ballyculter don't seem to be recognised. In actual fact, I think they had a pre-Norman existence. And they're very much settlements that would be recognised as such in our area. I'm also concerned that Annacloy doesn't appear anywhere. Now, Annacloy is obviously an area that stretches from Margaret Ritchie's house out to the church. But it's a very significant development, although it's very much along the lines of an Irish rural development townland. It has sufficient mass and concentration of housing to actually be a recognised settlement in its own right, because there's hardly any gaps between the houses these days. It's pretty much a continuous line of development from the petrol station all the way up to the church, and indeed the community centre beyond. So I would say, just from canvassing the area, I would say there would have to be 500 people living in that area easily. And it has always been recognised, certainly in our area, as a settlement. I also know that you don't recognise Bright. Bright is a significant settlement on the outskirts of Downpatrick. It's quite separate from Downpatrick. It has all its own facilities outside of, up to and including a very successful GA club. And it's of a size that's significantly bigger than many of the small settlements you have recognised. So I would say to you that certainly if you're picking up Minorstown, which you definitely should do, not to have Bright, Annacloy, Ballyalton, Ballyculter and Dunsford as either Tier 3 or T4 settlements would be a mistake. And as I was saying, Bishop's Court needs to be in Ballyhornan, and Rahalp needs to be in Seoul, because they are in truth one settlement. Thank you.
That's a lot of stuff on the
obviously, what we've said in the document is that these are some of the settlements in Para 429. These are a number of settlements that we have identified through our own desktop exercise, local knowledge. As expressed through the members' workshop, we did ask that if members want to provide us with any other potential locations for small settlements, we'll have a look at them. And if I maybe didn't rattle them all down here, Councillor Enright, but I'm happy to receive any email from you if you want to just give me those again. Annacloy is in the documents. It's identified as a small settlement. It's an existing small settlement.
Yeah.
Proposed settlement, it's in the list, small settlements, Annacloy. I'm referring to both Appendix A and Appendix B.
Andy, would you come back to Cadogan on them?
Yes, obviously.
You know, for that Cadogan.
But If you give us an email and I extend that out to all members, that if there's any other settlements that or any sort of nodes of development or locations that you consider maybe merit being identified as small settlements, we'll happy to have a look at them to see whether they're worthy as inclusion within the hierarchy.
All right.
Sorry, just one other point in respect to Stroll. Obviously, the population figures that we have here are the census information provided by NISRA, and they would be based on the settlement designations that we have within the development plans. Again, if you feel that the village plans we will take into consideration, they don't have any planning status. But we will take into consideration the village plan documents that have been prepared by the council as part of our review of any of the settlements.
Sorry, Councillor Byrne and Councillor Hardy, can I just seek clarity on the proposal that you put forward? Are you proposing that Cross McGlen retains town status, or are you proposing that the officer goes away to reconsider whether it should be town or village status?
No, I think by the report, Chair. They can come in. I think by the report on page 13, when we're talking about not looking at just population, looking at services, I think the report actually states that we should be retaining town status. No, I'm not proposing to go away and look at it. I'm proposing on Councillor Hardy's second to retain the status of small town.
Okay. Thank
you.
Huh? Yeah. So just in terms of the way forward on your point, Councillor McMahon, have you... with regard to Ballyhoon, have you got a proposal that you want to put forward in that regard?
Well, sure, yes, I would like to see Ballyhoon regarded as a village.
Alright, we're moving on into item 5, improvement orders and assessment report. Johnny, you're going to take us.
Okay, members, purpose of this report is basically to provide this committee with an overview of the key findings and indeed the proposals for improvement from the Northern Ireland Audit Office, who is tasked by the Department for Communities to audit all the 11 councils every year in respect of their duty of performance. What I can say, Chair, is that exercise is now completed and the auditor has certified that the council has discharged its performance improvement and reporting duties in accordance with the Act. And is now proposing an unqualified audit and assessment opinion with no statutory recommendations being made to the Department for Communities. And on the back of that, a certificate of compliance has been issued. Chair, the covering letter and indeed the audit report and the certificate of compliance are attached at the paper. There are a number of proposals for improvement. I don't propose to go through these, but they are included within the report. But what I can say is they largely are attached to actually further embedding how we do performance improvement and indeed performance management. And that particularly is around, for example, developing more service and departmental-based indicators and metrics. I suppose improving how we report information, not just to elected members, but also to the senior management team and other decision-makers. And it actually makes reference to the council prioritising the investment in a system to actually automate a lot of what we currently do manually. So, Chair, unless members have any specific questions or comments in relation to it, may we just ask for a proposer and seconder in relation to both the report and in relation to the proposals for improvement. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just a bit of clarity, Johnny, on the governance arrangements. Are we being asked here on the recommendations that, suppose, you know, the officers are providing us with papers and, you know, scrutinising the papers here. As I said in the last meeting, I think the papers of this committee, and I'm not just saying that for sitting here, are one of the best prepared papers across all the committees. But are we being asked to scrutinise the papers against the performance indicators as a committee on this improvement? As it says, the council needs to ensure the Despionnel committee were scrutinising the papers against improvement objectives. Is that, you know, we should be looking at our level of scrutiny against what the performance indicators say. If that's the case, then should we be listing the performance indicator as relevant to each document? Just saying, for going forward, what is being expected of us, or is it of officers? And also on the improvement plan, I suppose the improvement plan, it's easy fix going forward because it touches on the ease of access of information, which is the website again, and relating to the publication of info.
like we said, like I said in the action plan. So I can see that being corrected going forward. But I just want to be sure what's been asked of us as a committee when the papers are being presented to us. Are we to scrutinise them against the performance indicators? Because a list of the performance indicators in each document or what we're scrutinising against will be helpful.
Chair, in terms of the role of SDNR, it essentially owns the Council's Performance Management Framework. Through that, there are a number of key elements. There's the Agile Performance Management Plan, which again is in our
plan that pulls together the performance of essentially the council's departments and indeed the other committees in actually delivering those performance improvement objectives. So there's clearly a role for this committee in providing a scrutiny role in relation to that. You may find that specific projects or indeed initiatives contained within that plan are dealt with by the relevant committee, but you have an oversight role. So to answer your question, yes. And then you made a comment about improving ease of access and information. The auditor did pick up about the lack of fit and the purpose of our website, but you'll be aware of improvements that we're making in relation to that. But I would expect to see a lot more in that relation to in terms of how we get our performance out to the public. I suppose at the end of the day, that's consumption is for.
That's all right, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson.
All right, John.
Whilst I'd be happy to make any recommendation required for the audit report, I just want to share my concerns about the performance improvement document, which in my view is remarkably unambitious. I do sit in other government boards and bodies, and it looks to me more like a box-ticking exercise. The fact we've got something with performance improvement written on the top of it and a few paragraphs underneath. And when you think about the situation where we are now after, is it 3 or 4 years, and we're still merging, we still haven't got posts filled, our IT systems still haven't combined together to make an effective operation, even for the way we were as opposed to the way we need to be. We still haven't got a strategy for growing the rate space. We're really not tackling any of the broad things we would need to do as a corporation. So, personally, I couldn't recommend the improvement program. I just simply feel it's not up, not fit for purpose. But I'll be happy to support the audit and the accounts if necessary.
Right. Might have a proposal and a second for that. Proposed, second, Councillor. All right. Thank you, Johnny. Item 6. Ken, you're taking this. Procedure policy.
Yes, Chair. In front of you tonight, members, is an updated procurement policy and related procedures. The previous procurement policy was agreed by Shadow Council in 14-15 year. The purpose of this document is designed to assist council officers to determine the most appropriate method of procuring of procurement when purchasing goods and services. Procurement must follow the core values of local government with adherence to the UK and EU legislation. Within this updated policy, there are direct computer links to a number of new templates, such as business cases, tender packs, and conflict of interest forms, which will greatly assist officers prepare the appropriate document. The Council did receive a limited assurance rating from internal audit in 15-16 on purchasing, procurement and contract management, and was advised that the purchasing policy be updated. The external auditor from the NIAO in his management letter has also raised a priority one recommendation in the last 2 years in relation to procurement within the council. I do not intend to go through the document in its entirety, but would direct you to the table on page 8 of the document. Page 12 of the document. which sets out the threshold values for each type of expenditure. And it's not really obvious there, but if you click on those links, the actual template will come up onto your computer screen, and you will be confident that you will be filling in the appropriate and correct document. I would refer you to quite a significant table in this document on page 23, where we have set out the delegated limits of officers. And in the second highlighted paragraph, it says the Chief Executive and Directors can approve purchase orders, invoices over 30k, as long as the supplies, stroke services, stroke works provided can be linked. It should be rather than can't.
Right.
To contract frameworks or service level agreements.
Right. Thank you, Josh. Yeah. Right. Councillor Vaughan, do you
require? Yeah, I didn't even spot that. I'll propose it and just welcome on page 17. I think, you know, it's nearly a minefield to go since I got into council to find out what the procurement policy is. And I think the flow chart on page 17 is excellent. As you can see, the low value to value for money into the business case. And it's really, really easy to follow. And then you've all the other information to back it up. So just congratulations on the document, and I'll propose it to you.
I'll just second off of that. Francis Savage, thank you. All right, thank you, Ken. 18 minutes of elected members development working group.
Yeah, okay, councillors, this is the minutes just for your information of the last elected member development working group held on the 4th of December. NILGA were present and updated us on their regional programme of training for councillors, and all that documentation is attached for you. I would draw your attention to the point about the regional development and workforce group which NILGA intend to set up. They've invited one member of our council's work group to sit on the regional group, and at our meeting on the 4th of December, the members who were present at the elected member development group nominated Councillor Harvey to be the council's representative, so we would need this committee and subsequently the council to agree to that recommendation if you wish.
Both? Yeah, no other nominee. All right. Thank you for that. Anything? Item 8. Johnny, you're taking this, CCTV. Probably went to committee for this. All right. All right.
Chair, can I just comment, if you don't mind? I felt there was an excessive use of restricted items on the agenda tonight, and several of these items really ought to have been in the public sphere, particularly complaints and things like savings on paint and that sort of thing. I think we've overdone the restricted items. Thank you, Chair.
We will take advice on that. Right, this item is deemed to be exempt on this item is deemed to be exempt on the paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014, information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding this information, and the public may be resolutely restricted during this item of business. Proposed or second to go into committee on that? Proposed seconds. All right.
Yeah. Do you want to read out any of that?
Item 8, CCTV, Strategic Projects Working Group, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Savage, to note the contents of the officer's report and agree to the recommendations of special meeting of the Strategic Projects Working Group of the 27th of November 2017 and to the additional recommendation detailed in the officer's report, with officers responsible taking cognizance of members' comments regarding the proposed public information exercise. Item 9, surplus land at Fork Hill, agreed to note the contents of the officer's report advising that council has expressed an interest in the acquisition of land at Main Street, Fork Hill, declared surplus by the Department for Communities. Item 10, in-year budget reallocation, agreed to note the content of the officer's report
that an in-year reallocation of resources to other non-recurring activities was not considered necessary at this juncture. Item 11, procurement of consultants. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Burns, seconded by Councillor Savage, to approve the recommendations contained in paragraph 3.1 of the officer's report. The Council approves the procurement of a consultant building surveyor to complete building condition surveys up to the value of the figure detailed in the report, with the cost being taken from the Corporate Services Directorate consultancy budget. Item 12, fire paint at Downpatrick Leisure Centre. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Byrne, to approve the recommendation contained in paragraph 3.1 of the officer's report on the contract for Downpatrick Leisure Centre, relating to a change in fire paint specification. Item 13, complaints. Noted the report on complaint statistics for the month of September and October 2017, with members commenting on the need for more detailed, accurate, timely information.
All right. Thank you. That concludes the meeting.